Hey everybody, welcome to another Baseball America podcast. I'm Kyle Glazer. It's been just over 2 months since the coronavirus pandemic shut down baseball as a whole. There's been some movement to get things started back up, but as of right now, it's a lot of proposals, still nothing official. One thing we do know is official is the draft will take place on June 10th, about 3 weeks from now. I should say the first day of the draft will take place on June 10th, 3 weeks from now. The second day will take place on June 11th. It will be a five-round draft, the shortest draft in history since the first draft in 1965. As a result, a lot of players who thought they were going to get drafted are not going to be drafted. But some of the players at the top of the draft that expected to go in those top two, three, four rounds are still going to get picked. And one of those players is Nick Garcia. Nick is one of the most unique prospects in this year's draft. He's a right-handed starter out of Chapman University, which is a small private school. They play in Division III, located just about 2 miles from Angel Stadium in Orange County in Southern California. And Nick entered Chapman as a third baseman, converted to the mound last year as a sophomore, and blossomed into an elite closer. He helped carry Chapman to the Division III World Series title, was named Most Outstanding Player of the D3 College World Series, and started touching 98 miles an hour. He came out this year, moved into the rotation, and was one of the fastest rising pitchers in the country. He was showing 94 at the bottom of the zone, flashes of four pitches, throwing strikes, really elevated himself. Talking to scouts around the country, there were some who thought that he could sneak into the back of the first round. Most see him as a second round talent, and no one thinks he's going to get past the third round. Nick is kind enough to join us today to talk a little bit about his journey going from Division III third baseman to closer to starting pitcher. That's one of the top pitching prospects in the draft class. And what a top draft prospect is doing right now. This is normally a time when guys are in the middle of conference play or in some cases conference tournaments. This is a time that scouts are typically meeting them in their homes, really getting to know them, digging in on the makeup. Instead, there's no games being played. Conversations are much more limited and a big adjustment for everyone. Nick, again, is kind enough to join us to discuss what he's doing right now and what the process looks like for him. Nick, how is a pitcher who is trying to stay ready for the draft and show teams that, hey, I'm worthy of a high pick? What are some of the things you're doing or can do in this situation?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's all going back to just really staying as in good shape as you can, whether it's going back to basics and just doing what you can with what you have. And that's what I've kind of been doing. It's what it's going to work right now for me. And that's kind of just going to make the best of the situation we have.
So take me through your daily routine. Are you going out and you're throwing bullpens? Are you in the weight room? What are you doing right now?
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be able to work out and stuff at my house. We have a little gym set up, which has been nice. So we've been able to work out with my roommates down here in Orange, which has been really nice to stay in good shape, and then keeping my arm loose and healthy, just keeping it somewhat where it should be. Not trying to take too much time off. Being so young with pitching, I don't really want to lose too much that I've built up over the past year and a half now, so really just trying to stay with it as much as I can, but kind of appreciate this time off to make sure I'm healthy. Just keep working on the body, get it to a better place so that when baseball does come back, we can keep taking steps forward.
Normally, as a draft prospect right now, you'd be pitching in front of a dozen, two dozen, three dozen scouts at games. They'd be coming over to your house, talking to you in person, trying to get to know you. Obviously, none of that is happening right now. Games are shut down and scouts have been prohibited from meeting with a lot of prospects in person. What are some of the things you're doing to interact with teams? Is it phone calls? Are you sending them video? What's that process like right now?
It's been a mixture of things. There's been phone calls, FaceTime, Zoom calls. They're still getting their ways to contact us. And just like everything else, you're just making do with what's going on. And it's definitely a little bit different of a scenario, but you still got to go through the process and get these teams to, you know, create a relationship and have them understand who you are. And so that's what we've been doing. And I'm appreciative for all the opportunities I get to speak with teams and them to get to know who I am.
As someone who was a little bit of a later burst onto the scene, you were known last year. You were the Division III College World Series Most Outstanding Player, but this year you moved into the rotation and the interest in you really, really spiked. How many phone calls a day are you getting? Because a lot of these teams have a shorter track record with you than they do with maybe a guy who's in the SEC or the Pac-12.
Yeah, no, it's been a good amount so far. I mean, like you said, it's kind of been a little bit, I've been come on pretty late here, and that sparked a lot of teams' interest. And, you know, every time I get the opportunity to talk to somebody, I appreciate it. that means that I'm doing all my work's paying off, and I continue to have a lot of work to do and a lot of things to progress in. But that's the goal here, is to keep progressing so that down the line I get to where I want to be. And this is all just part of the process. So just taking everything one step at a time, and really just taking every step I can and advantage of every moment I can to get better. And hopefully that all just pays off, and I end up in a great place where I can really take on the challenges that are coming forward to me and become the player I want to become.
Would you say, how often are teams reaching out to you, talking to, you know, one team a day, or getting talking to two people a day? What's the ratio right now?
It's been every couple of days, I'd say. Somebody reaches out. It's hard to really keep track of things, but I'd say it's one every couple of days or something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to keep track of the days, especially as a player where you would know, all right, I'm starting on Fridays, we have midweek games, and now it just seems like everything's a little bit of a blur.
Yeah, exactly. You try to do your best of staying on a routine and a schedule, and I feel like at the beginning that was a little rough because you don't really know what to do. Everybody's just kind of – nobody's been in this situation before, but now I've luckily been able to get to that routine of going through my weeks and getting my work in and really taking advantage of this time mentally to, you know, usually right now we're in playoff baseball, we're finishing up school, so you got a lot going on. But I mean, in a different like light, this is a good opportunity to really reflect on things, build on your side mentally, and really just keep developing the body, hopefully to get yourself in a good spot so when things come back you can take those next steps.
You mentioned the gym in your house. Do you have access to a mound anywhere? Are you allowed onto your team facilities on campus, or is everything shut down?
We actually kind of we have an indoor hitting facility on campus, and there was we had an indoor mound there, and our coach let us borrow it in our backyard, actually. And I live with my catcher from Chapman down here, so we've been able to do some backyard bullpens and stuff and keep things moving and get the feel of things and just make sure that staying in feels of everything that I've been working on.
That's pretty funny. So you guys took the mound, counted out 60 feet, 6 inches in your backyard and set it up?
Yeah, that's about it. It's pretty funny when you watch it. We have a street right behind us, and when you're standing on the mound, people are looking at you and they're like, what the hell's going on back there?
No, it's also very, very convenient that you live with your catcher, because that was going to be my next question. Obviously, there's a lot of social distancing rules out there, but since you guys are in the same household, it seems like everything's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any other roommates around? You can get them to stand in the box at all?
I actually have had. I live with five other guys on my team at Chapman. I think four of us are in the house right now, or five of us in the house, and so whenever I need one, I just holler up to upstairs and they'll come out, put a helmet on, and stand in for me. So it's actually quite funny.
Hey, you got to make the do with what you got. That's awesome that you've been able to figure it all out. In terms of, there's been a lot of restrictions on what teams can look at, what data they can look at. They obviously have video and data from before the shutdown, but then there was a dead period. Have you been sending them video of your bullpens in your backyard?
No, I've just been really not really trying to push it to 100%, because I feel like there's real no need for that, because it appears baseball isn't going to be coming back in the next 2-3 weeks. So I'm just trying to stay healthy, keep my arm 75-80%, just making sure everything's moving good, efficiently, and healthy and clean. And that's I'm happy with that. And I'm just going to keep doing that and keep moving around.
So, obviously, all this is happening. You still have school. You still have classes. So everything's going online. How difficult has it been to manage, hey, teams want to talk to you on Zoom or a phone call, but you've got a class going on? What's that challenge been like? Because it's very different when you have in-person classes and the schedule just kind of gets thrown off.
Yeah, it's definitely a little different. It hasn't been too bad because they're able to work around schedules to a little bit, and I only have a class Monday to Thursday. And so it's really not, it hasn't been too much of a burden on either sides. I feel like everybody kind of works together and everybody is making everything work right now.
Obviously this spring, your name was popping up a lot. You saw the interest tick up. We were hearing the interest tick up. I'm sure you envisioned this process going a certain way. And then obviously the coronavirus pandemic kind of exploded. Everything shut down. How different is this from what you envisioned, just in terms of, because I think we all have this vision of, okay, it's my draft year, this is how it's going to go, I'm super excited, and then this kind of steps in and blows everything up.
Yeah, it's definitely been an experience, but I mean, nothing in my life in baseball has really come very straightforward like that, coming from being transferring from third to the mound. I mean, everything every year seems like it's smooth, and you just got to adjust on the fly, and so it's just another little hiccup in the road, but you're just going to keep moving forward and take what you can out of it. I mean, everything happens for a believer, happens for a reason, and I'm a big believer in that. So just going to keep trusting whatever's going on, and when I get the chance to get back out there, I'm going to do what I can.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned nothing ever really going in a straight line for you, and you're right, that's definitely been a theme of your career. You've definitely had a really interesting background. You're from the Bay Area, went to high school up there, San Carlos, came down to Chapman, which, again, Division III school in Southern California. A lot of times it's local kids that go to Chapman. How did you end up going there from NorCal?
Yeah, I didn't have too many opportunities really out of high school at those Division I schools, and I was a pretty good academic student, so I felt Chapman was a really good fit academically, and I knew the baseball program was had a great history, and I visited the campus, and it was kind of just somewhere that I thought I was going to fit, and that was the biggest thing for me. It was somewhere I could grow and get the opportunities to play and really see what I had as a baseball player, and it really, everything just worked out. I mean, I think we honestly have one of the best pitching coaches in the country, and little did I know that coming in, but he's pushed me a long, long ways, and I don't know if anywhere else I would be where I'm at today without what he's done for me. And this program here, from when I came on campus my freshman year, just the guys that produce the culture here, I mean, it's a really player-driven program. Not to say that our Skip doesn't work hard, and he's a great game manager and does a lot of great things for the program, but it really is within itself, and that guys really take upon themselves to want to win and build the culture of great, and want to lead things bigger than who we are here. And when I stepped on campus and I felt that, that was just something I wanted to build on. And being here for 2.5 years, I really hope I left that mark that guys left for me when I was young.
You entered school as a third baseman. You appeared in 24 games as a freshman, hit .268. Solid for a freshman, to be sure. Take us through that transition. You moved to the mound before your sophomore year, blossomed into the Chapman closer, and ultimately had one of the best seasons in college baseball in any division, and capped it off by winning the College World Series Most Outstanding Player and helping Chapman win the D3 National Championship. But how did that transition come up? Who recommended it? What was that process?
In high school, I was a two-way guy in high school for the most part. I think I threw 12, 14 innings. So I knew I came in as a two-way guy. They knew I'd throw off the mound a little bit. But that freshman year, our three starting pitchers we had in our weekend rotation are actually all in professional baseball now. So they were kind of like over in that spot at third. And I played a good amount at third. And as the year went on, I kind of was just, you know, itching to get out there because I saw what they were doing. But I felt that I could match them. Then we lost in the regionals that year, which I wasn't even on the active roster as we traveled. I couldn't even play when I was up there, and that was killing me. So that was just another aspect that was really feeding me to want to see what I had. And I went into summer ball after my freshman year, threw a little bit. Things started to pique my interest on my own side. I was like, wow, I feel like I got a little bit here, and then came back that fall, and it was one of the first inner squads I threw. It was just like, it was a feeling unlike really anything I'd ever felt in my life, where it's just like, this is where it is. This is where I belong. This is something I could dominate at. And it took about 1 week. Me and Skip met, and we kind of just looked at each other and were like, this is something more that's best for the team. This is going to help us win a lot of games, and this is going to help you to see how good you could be as a ball player. And kind of all from there, it kind of just, the confidence started to build a base of just all my mechanics on the mound that fall. And then as the year went on, everything just, I don't know how to describe it really. That year was just very real, and that team was unreal, and every moment that we went through, I felt like I was growing in every outing. It just kind of really built up for me that year.
Yeah, in the fall you mentioned you got back on the mound. How did you end up in the bullpen to start?
It was just the best option for us. We had all of our weekend guys last year were seniors, so they had a lot of experience on the mound that I didn't have. Obviously, I was probably pushing at the bit last year to really, I can get a start in there. I can get a start in there, but it just really fit for me to finish games off. I had a really good ability to come back on short rest, back-to-back days, close games out, and that really was huge for us down the stretch. Where maybe our starters couldn't have done that as well as I could. And it really just put a really good mindset in my head. Being a closer, you have to come out there and just dominate with pure electric stuff. And that's what I did. I came out there and I wanted to instill fear into the other team that they had no match, and the game was all of a sudden going from 9 innings to 7 innings. As the year went on, the team started to play for 7 innings rather than 9, because they knew if they got there and we were ahead come the 7th, 8th inning, it was over, and they had to play for less of a game, and that was really huge for us, because when we had the starting pitching that we did and the defense that we had last year, it really clicked as a whole for our team.
You certainly made it lights out game over last year. You were 9-0, 0.64 ERA, 12 saves, 82 strikeouts while allowing 4 runs the whole year. Once the postseason came, you took it up to another level. Again, won most outstanding player of the College World Series. Really, I mean, shut everyone down. 2 scoreless innings, 3 scoreless innings. It seems like you're able to give your team some length, especially at the biggest moments in the biggest games.
Yeah, that's exactly. When it came down to the end of the year, I wanted the ball no matter what the situation was. I didn't really care how my body was feeling. I didn't care how the ball was coming out of my hand. I knew that if I had the ball, I was going to get the outs that we needed and put our team in the best possible position to win. And that's really the mindset you have to have as a closer going day to day.
During that season, you touched 98 miles an hour for the first time. Prior to that, what was the highest velo you had touched, and just how shocking was it to see that number come up on a radar gun?
It was really an accumulation over that year. I mean, the first time I stepped off the mound, I hit 90, and that was like, oh, that's cool. And then throughout the fall, I gained 1 mile an hour, gained 2 miles an hour, and then first game comes spring, I hit my first 93. Then the next weekend, I was up to 94. And then the weekend after, I had my first 96. And then 2 weeks later, I popped my first 98. And it was just kind of like, that's when I knew things were starting to just really click. And my body was moving better. I was moving a little more efficiently, getting stronger. And that's just kind of like an accumulation of all the work that was put in and all the adjustments that were made. So obviously, it was pretty, it's cool to see. It's a really cool thing to accomplish. But it was more important just to get to where I wanted to be off the mound and do what I had to do for the team. And that made everything a lot easier when you're able to do that against the hitters that I faced. It made things a lot more challenging.
I mean, it came pretty quick. Again, you mentioned you stepped on the mound in the fall, threw 90 miles an hour, first time back on the mound after some time off. 6-7 months later, you're Division III national champion in the dog pile, celebrating with your team and being named College World Series Most Outstanding Player. I mean, was that a blur, just thinking about how quickly that all kind of happened?
Absolutely. I'm still not sure. I really remember what happened at all. I just knew all of a sudden it was we had a pretty good regular season. The second to last regular season series, I know, was not a great weekend for us. I think we won the series. We weren't playing great as a unit. And then conference tournament hit, and then all of a sudden things just, that weekend rolled. We absolutely dominated, and then we played our regional game. We played a 5-game series against Whitman that was unreal. And then things just started to carry for us. We battled and battled and battled and really just followed. I mean, pitching and defense won us that national championship. Not to say that our offense didn't carry us, and we had a lot of great players that came through in very clutch times for us, but it just goes back to that old saying that pitching and defense does win, and that's what, I don't even know what happened a lot of times. If you were to go back and watch it, I just probably couldn't tell you what happened, of what situation. I just know that we battled in every single moment we could, and when you do that, you put yourself in a good opportunity to win, and that's what we did, and at the end of the day, things fell our way, and we won the national championship. So
what was your reaction when they announced that you were the most outstanding player of the College World Series, especially given how far you'd come and how short of a time?
I mean, it wasn't really that. It was more of just a cohesive unit. I mean, there were so many players that stepped up in that World Series that did things that everybody deserved. Our whole team deserved to be awarded, and we did. We were the national champions, and I just did what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to come in and get outs, close games out, and that's what I did that weekend. We had plenty of other guys that stepped up and did what they needed to do to help us win, whether it was a role player, whether it was a guy that was in the starting lineup. Everybody that those, whatever it was, 5 days and 7 or 8 games that we played, stepped up when we needed them to. I mean, we went to the loser's bracket after game 1. We lost our second game there, and we had the battle. So when you're playing that many games in that amount of days, it doesn't come down to one person. What I did was what I was supposed to do, but it was the guys who had to step up that was most impressive.
Yeah, you mentioned you guys lost that that game, went into loser's bracket, and then reeled off five straight wins to win the national title. It truly was a really impressive run.
Yeah, I still don't. Me and my catcher roomed at the World Series, and as the days went on, it was kind of like we just got into our routines there, and then all of a sudden, before we know it, we just won that game to get to that national championship series. And I think we put to bed that night. We'd been in this together since my freshman year. We pushed each other. We kind of looked at each other like, are we really playing for the national championship tomorrow? It was just a surreal moment, which, like, you dream of working that hard. You do all this preparation to get where you want to be. But to be honest, it was that day didn't really matter as much as that all the work we put in had really – it felt that it paid off more than just the game. The relationships that we built as a team, just everything had really come to fruition. And then that day just happened. I just remember I pitched that morning game, and we played the doublehead the second game later, and I was unable to pitch in that afternoon game, and that was the first game that year that I couldn't have thrown. So I put on my jacket, and I was charting for the first time, and I didn't move from the chart for nine innings, and we were getting no hit, I think, for six plus innings, we were getting no hit. And then a couple balls went our way, and then before you know it, we're up 9-0, and we get a line out to win the national championship on the first pitch. And I still don't know what happened. It was a blur, and it was just an amazing feeling.
You came in this year moving to the rotation. Take us through that process. What was that conversation like with your coaches and also yourself, knowing that you had a chance? You were on draft radars. I remember hearing your name for the first time last year around the D3 College World Series as a guy to watch for next year, now this year. How did that transition from the bullpen to the rotation happen?
That was pretty natural, I feel, for me. It was just building up the ability to throw for 6-7 innings. And that came with a lot of little stuff and refining mechanics, making myself move more efficient, just making things easier on me, making my off-speed stuff more consistent. A lot of that came from my experience in the Cape that last summer, facing those hitters that I'd never faced before in my life, and that really threw me against the wall. And when you get thrown against something like that, you really have to those fight or flight senses kick in. And it took me a couple weeks here and there of failure than success, taking a step forward, taking a step back, but that really helped me learn a lot really quickly that I probably would not have done if I wasn't given that opportunity. And I'm very thankful for Coach Nicholson in Orleans and what he did for allowing me there to experience all that, because that experience threw me into the fall, in which I then learned so much this past fall in my body and how to move. With Dave Edwards, our pitching coach, just really helped me refine a lot of things coming into the spring. And as soon as the spring hit, it got back into the mentality of, I'm just going to go dominate. And it doesn't matter if I'm facing the best hitter from the SEC or the best hitter in our conference, I'm going to go do what I can. And that doesn't matter. My goal this year was to be the best pitcher that I could be, regardless of Division III, Division II, Division I. I wanted to go out there and dominate and show to the country that I'm a great pitcher, not just some Division III guy that got through it and can have success at that level. I want to have success at a much larger scale.
How much did pitching in the Cape Cod League give you the belief that you could do that? You mentioned last year going out there after a long run into the College World Series. You know, you were tired. You had pitched a lot deeper than a lot of the guys you were facing. And you went out and held your own, had a 3.17 ERA, you know, held your own against some of the best players college baseball had to offer at the D1 level. How much did that build your confidence?
That was huge for me. I mean, I went out there after throwing a lot in our postseason, but every chance I was, Coach Nicholson gave me the chance to throw, I wanted the ball. I knew that regardless of how I felt out there, if I could go out there not at my best against those hitters, and find ways to be successful, that was really going to help me later on in my career. And so every time they gave me the opportunity, I wanted the ball. And there was days I felt good. There was days I didn't feel good. There's a lot of learning, a lot of adjustments that I made throughout that whole summer. If you split it in half, that whole first month, I was making so many adjustments, learning how to be a pitcher, coming off of so many innings that last month of the World Series. But that was all huge for me, because as soon as I started to make the adjustments I needed to, the confidence started to build. And that's a huge part of playing against good competition, is building confidence. And that really happened for me as the months went on, and it just really started to click for me again, and I got more of that feeling. And then kicking the ball when you don't feel good, and now with how I felt this past spring and just being able to get some time off and start building the body again, I feel like when I go back to face competition at that level again, I'm going to have success, more success, because I had the chance to face them when I wasn't at my best. So I understand how to get through innings and get outs when I'm not feeling as good.
You know, it's funny, going back and looking at your game logs, your first outing in the Cape Cod League, gave up 2 hits, a walk, and a run. Next time out, you took the L. It was a little bit of a rocky start, but after that, you really buckled in, gave up only 1 run in your next 6 appearances.
Yeah, no, I always, that first game I went out there, they walked it off against me. I think it was in Bourne, and that was a moment that really stood out to me, because that was the first time I'd ever lost on the mound. Before that, I never remember taking a loss, and that was one of the probably worst feelings I ever had. And that whole bus ride home, that was just something that kind of really set me straight. I feel like if I got through that outing, got through with what I did that day, being sloppy, maybe I don't work as hard to, you know, I think my stuff can get me through other games, and I make mistakes and I keep getting lucky, but that day really set me straight and born and got me on a good path to keep working and keep developing stuff and not letting myself feel complacent.
Yeah, after that, again, you were pretty lights out the rest of the way in the Cape Cod League. And moving into the summer, you mentioned you took the confidence, you took everything you had built, you really built yourself up. Came out this year and the stuff looked great. You're off to a really, really nice start. Once you got out there, because again, it's one thing you mentioned to have that mentality of blowing it out. You have 1 inning, 2 innings. Sometimes for you, you went 3 innings and just trying to finish games. But going out as a starter, knowing you need to last 5, 6, 7 innings, it's an entirely different mentality. How was that adjustment, and how did you manage it?
That was definitely something that, I mean, the only way you can develop that, those understandings, is by going through it. And I really trusted the process that we put in place for me throughout January to get myself there. And each game, I felt better and better with it. It was finding just your mentality of how to get through the first inning, how to attack hitters. It's a lot different being a starting pitcher than coming in out of the bullpen. And that's something that you think you can understand, but really there's no way to develop that feeling and understand how to become a starting pitcher without going through those days. And from start to start, all 5 of them I had this year, I mean, each one I learned something new and I took it to the next one. Which was a great feeling, because I got to learn so fast. I feel I got to take things in, and I experienced such a wide variety of feelings, whether it's going from a great day to a bad day, you got to take something out of each of them. And I wish, you know, I mean, everything happens for a reason, but I really feel like I would have kept on learning this year, and a lot of things would have kept on developing for me. But I really am grateful for all those starts I got this year, and the team that we had, because I feel like it would have kept on really developing for me more and more.
When did you notice an uptick in the number of scouts at your starts? Because again, you were someone that people knew. You came in this year as definitely a Division III guy to watch. You were on radars, but within a couple weeks, I started hearing your name as like, hey, this guy's going to go high potentially in the draft. When did you notice that uptick from a couple scouts to games where you had 30 or 40 scouts watching you, and some of them, you know, national cross-checkers?
Yeah, I mean, I really try to zone those things out as much as you can. But at our park, I mean, it kind of takes over your whole backstop when it's covered with that many guys. So, I mean, the first couple of times in the fall, I had probably a good amount of guys. And then that was kind of like, I remember the first time I took the ball in the fall, I hadn't thrown off a mound in probably 6, 7 weeks. And there's 20, 25 guys behind there. And I was kind of like, oh, I got to throw the baseball. And so it was really a learning experience. That's another one of those things that you can't control it. So you're just going to go out there and do your thing. And it was another one of those, you got to react fast and you just got to go with it. And so, I mean, after 1 week, you kind of just got to take it in and then go with it. And that's the new norm. And so as soon as I felt more comfortable with it, I can't control anything other than what I can do out there. And I'm going to prep myself to go out there and do as good as I can every time I get the ball. That's the mentality I held. And it didn't matter who was behind home plate or who's watching. I'm going to go dominate and help my team win.
Absolutely. You did a lot of that this year. One of the more interesting games was you guys had a road trip, faced East Texas Baptist. You're out in Texas and had a start of 6 innings and 12 punch outs. Came back the next week to face Laverne at home and delivered 6 scoreless with 5 strikeouts as well. It seemed like things were really starting to solidify for you a little. I mean, did you start to feel that once the spring hit, you were doing it in regular season games, that everything was kind of coming together?
Yeah, definitely. It just goes back to like getting comfortable in what I was doing and just taking learning experiences from each and every start into the next one, and then just feeling that start out, because every start's going to be different. Every team you're going to face is going to be different. So just battling through the order, understanding how my stuff plays against certain hitters, how my stuff plays inning to inning. But the biggest thing for me was just going out there. And I mean, being the Friday guy, you have to go out there and set the tone for a weekend. And being a guy that wanted to really lead this program in a great direction, that's what I wanted to do. I want to go out there and set the tone for the rest of our weekend, for the other team to know that we were going to come out there and we were going to beat them 3 times. And that's what my goal was every time I took the ball.
So March 9th, go out, 5 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 9 strikeouts. Fantastic start. Everything's feeling good, and within a week, season is shut down and eventually canceled. What was that like for you, both from the perspective of you're the defending D3 national champions and you wanted to go back and win it again, but also knowing for you that you personally were experiencing a lot of interest this year and all of a sudden it was kind of taken away from you?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know what happened, really. I remember starting to hear some rumblings. I know another Division III university in the middle of the country, or it was, I think, in Maine, possibly canceled their season. And we were all kind of like, oh, that's a big reaction or whatever. Going to that Monday game, I knew I had the ball. And I just come off not my best start versus Cal Lutheran, and I really wanted to go out there and solidify myself and bounce back hard. And I felt possibly the best I ever had on the mound that day. And then come that Wednesday practice, we get a text from our coach saying, like, come to the field. Like, we're not going to be practicing really, but I want to meet with everybody. And that was just a very uneasy feeling. But, I mean, you can't really control much when it comes to this, what's going on. So it was that whole day with shock. I remember just walking around the field that day just like, this could be the last time I wear these clothes, this hat. I mean, I really wanted to finish my time here in career at Chapman, being one of the only 2-time national champions. It's something that I set out to do, and to really change the, help develop this culture of this program into something bigger than myself. And I thought that was one way to really put it in a great path of success. And not being able to do that really hurt. But I mean, everybody was put in the same position, so it's really uncontrollable, and you just got to really move through it with what you can.
This is normally a very, very exciting time. Do you still feel that excitement knowing that the day is coming, but also just disappointment knowing that you're not out there pitching right now for your team?
Yeah, there's definitely, I know we're looking back at the memories from last year, and we see this weekend will be conference tournament, next weekend's regional, whatever it is, but that kind of stings and kind of hurts because you miss being out there with the guys. But I'm just excited. I mean, obviously still excited for everything that's happening. And, you know, when the day comes, I really hope that my name's called at some point, and that's all I can control. I can't control any other thing than just what I did in the past. And I felt like I put myself in a great position, and I showed very well for what I can do. And that's about all I can control. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. I'll be really happy, and I'm going to keep working, keep being who I am, and push myself as hard as I can.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to seeing where you go as well in the draft and seeing you get on your way with your pro career as well. Nick, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experiences and your story with us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Once again, that was Nick Garcia, a right-handed pitching prospect out of Chapman, one of the best Division III prospects to really come out in some time, has a chance to be the highest drafted Division III player since Jordan Zimmerman was drafted in the second round of 2007. And we obviously know that one worked out pretty well. Be very, very interesting to see where Nick goes in the draft this year, and we appreciate him coming on to share his story with us, as well as let us know what this is like for a draft prospect who knows he's going to get picked but still trying to make his case to be picked high with teams. This has been another edition of the Baseball America podcast. If you enjoyed it, go ahead and give us a review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever platform you're listening on. We'd love to hear from you. Now is a great time to subscribe to Baseball America as well with the draft coming up. We just released our draft preview issue, over 100 pages of pure draft content. Great stuff all around, all the information you need to know. So go ahead and visit the sign-up page available on our website, baseballamerica.com. This has been another edition of the Baseball America podcast. For Nick Garcia, I'm Kyle Glazer. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.